Disciples of the love of God. Hallelujah. Disciples of the love of God. So we take next few weeks, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, consider walking in love again. Hallelujah. So it's been our custom every year. Matthew 28. This week you must learn to smile a lot. Is that clear? Smile. You know, sorry. BRT, take it easy. It's only why you smile. But you know, taking your time to smile at someone, before you choose, someone will be smiling back at you. Hallelujah. Don't put the word on your shoulder. Is that good? Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, teaching them to observe all things whosoever have commanded you, which you always see to the end of the world. And we said, verse 19, he said, you will teach all nations. Hallelujah. Right. So he said, make disciples of every nation. That word teach all nations, when you hear teach all nations, again, is to make disciples of every nation. That means the essence of the Christian faith is to teach people. The word disciple is not a spiritual word. It means to make people learn. A disciple is not like an apprentice, someone who you are teaching. That makes sense? That makes sense? You know, someone comes to your office for the first time, he's just employed, and then he asks you to show the person truth, right? Oftentimes that's what is always done, but for the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you are interning, you're going to be shown around. You are that person's disciple. Does that make sense? So, disciple is not a spiritual word. It says you make disciples of every nation. And we have said that the word every nation, there is the word ethnos. What nation? Ethnos. It means a people bounded by culture and by origin. So, whatever you are going to do in the discipleship, listen very well, must not be subjected to any nation. Listen very well. If you are going to teach the gospel must not be cultural. Say with me, the gospel is not cultural. It's not cultural. The gospel is not based on your culture. It's not based on your gender. It's not based on your race. The gospel to someone in Portugal must be the same gospel to someone in China. Must be the same gospel to someone in Kano. The gospel transcends culture. Hallelujah. We've had people preach in their culture, with the lenses of their culture. He said, you're going to bring someone's photo to church. We're going to pray. That has at the background the African religion. It's the same thing. I was sharing one of our teaching meetings where a missionary came to Nigeria and he said, he's about 80 years or thereabout. So he went back, he gave a report to the mission agency and said, nothing has changed. Not a change from when the gospel was just brought to Africa and now. They asked him why. There were a lot of people praying. He said they are just praying in churches. They used to pray in the shrine. That nothing really has changed. They still use combs, salt, you know. Earlier in the week I saw someone playing football in church. They were playing football in the spirit. And the pastor was saying, yeah. And people are falling down under the power of football. What if mercy comes? Ronaldo. They're not just going to fall under the power. He's going to buy your church. So the gospel is not cultural. Hallelujah. The gospel is not cultural. There's a culture. Separate. Man culture. The gospel transcends that culture. It's over it. And so it says you're going to go and teach all nations the gospel. And we will see why we're going this direction of the culture. We look at the disciples of the love of God. Hallelujah. So, he said, we are disciples. Discipleship is in learning. In learning. It means you're a student. It's not a spiritual word. The Pharisees are their own disciples. Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, verse 16. Let's look at that. So, it's not a spiritual word. I got one of our members who says, you always going to see a disciple. And someone that was represented. He said, caution her. Why would she say you want to see a disciple? You see Jesus? In your mind, only Jesus can have disciples. Because you don't read the Bible. In Matthew 22, 16. You there? He said, and they sent out unto him their disciples with arrogance. Who are they? Then when the Pharisees, verse 15, then when the Pharisees and took counsel that they might entangle him with his talk. and they sent out to him their disciples. Can you see that? Saying, masters, we know that our truth, that's just the will of God. Neither cares for any man, but thou hearest not the person of men. Tell us therefore what things are. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? So they wanted to test Jesus. And he said, should we give to Caesar? Should we pay tax? But who are those, the Pharisees said? They are disciples, right? So Pharisees also are disciples. So it's not a spiritual word. But in the gospel, listen very well, we are called to discipleship. Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples. So we are called to discipleship. Say we are called. I hear that word. Say we are called into discipleship. When you get born again, the next thing is to start to learn Christ. That's it. You start to learn Christ. The Christian faith is a journey. You start to learn God in Christ. And that's what the church is for. It's not where you come and you dance. Yeah. After sweating, you start to sleep in sermon. That's not church. That's dance club or social garden. Hallelujah. The church is not where you come and then say, I didn't mean to, but I didn't hear that. It's been a while we saw. Church is not reunion center. The church is also not a gaming center. Doesn't mean we say funding. Sunday is fun day. That sounds right. That Sunday is a fun day. Come to church with your jean, face card. If you have monopoly, bring it. Little, bring it. Scrabble, bring it. Our pastor is going to moderate. That's a shame on any pastor. You can imagine if Paul the Apostle was playing tennis. He said, who has anything to say? Ask the king. Who has anything to say? Can we just, you don't know. Don't say, the church is too tight. It's too, can we just raise him up? We are in our father's house. Let's just play some things. When you get to work on Monday, call your boss, the CEO of the company. Say that the work is too tight. That can we just play some games and watch the kind of letter you receive. It's not my mouth you hear the letter, but you'll be at home for many months. Hallelujah. When you're serious business, you do work. The church is where we come to learn Christ. I believe no serious Christian will be comfortable where you are doing just games and concerts. It's good to sing, it's good to worship. But you know that's the essence of church. 1 Timothy 3:15, it says the church is the pillar of truth, the ground of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. So the church of God is where we come to learn Christ. We are disciples of Christ. So the moment I get born again, the next thing is that I start to learn God's word. What does God's word say about prayer? You don't assume you know. What does God's word say about worship? What does God's word say about what? Evangelism. What does God say about my faith? About prosperity? For example, we just finished speaking about miracle money. Miracle money. Can God provide money for me? Yes. Right? Am I going to mysteriously say a Ghana must go down my bed? No. That's not the miracle money. It's a stolen money. That's not the way God works miracles. I just saw money in my pocket. It has happened to almost all of us. And yes, I don't know. Just saw five in there. That's the miracle money. Just five in the pocket. And I just prayed. You forgot it there. Or someone put it there. Money is a legal tender. It doesn't disappear. Except you make it. Hallelujah. It's a legal tender. That means it is transacted. It belongs to the government. And by the reason of service and goods, it's exchanged. You can't find a miracle money. The way God provides money for you is to what? Touch someone's heart to bless you. But because people have refused to learn, they have not become disciples of the school of the Spirit, or in the school of the Spirit, they now think there's a miracle money. There's no. So, in the gospel, we are students. We have come to learn Christ. Hallelujah. So we are disciples. You say that very well. So we are disciples of Christ. So discipleship is in learning. Is in learning. Go back to that Matthew 28. I'm going to show you something. Verse 19 again. In verse 18, he said, all power. Matthew 28:18. All power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Again, all power, there is authority, right? Exousia in the Greek, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. The authority Jesus had was upon where? The resurrection, right? Because it was the power to get men saved. That's why verse 19 will say, you now go and teach all nations. That makes sense. So when it says, go and teach all nations, go ye therefore. That is because of verse 18. Because all power is given to me, you can now go and teach all nations. That makes sense. Teaching all nations is to get men saved. Mark 16. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes is baptized. Whosoever believes not is damned. This signs are for those that believe. Alright, so the authority he's saying in verse 18 is the authority to get men saved. Church, tell me, when can men get saved? Before the resurrection or after the resurrection? Why? Jesus answered, it's me. Yeah? Because the Spirit is given when Jesus rose from the dead. Have you? Yeah? So that means, what we call salvation is the Spirit of God in the heart of the man. Have you? So that means nobody can have the Spirit until Jesus rose from the dead. You can listen to some of our teachings in this. Nobody can have the Spirit until Jesus rose from the dead, right? And if nobody can have the Spirit, that means nobody can be born until Jesus rose from the dead. A particular person came to me one time, like I said, how about the prophet Elijah? Are you telling me Elijah is not born again? Then you don't even know the Bible. I said, if you can say Elijah is born again, I can't argue with you, sir. You probably have to go and detox and go and learn the basics. I said, what about Esau? Esau the prophet. There Esau is the prophet. Son of God. Son of God. Then the sincerity. Then the sincerity. And zero. Say, no, Pastor. Say, you should not have said it with Mike. You should not have said it with Mike. You should have asked me first. Esau. The scriptures call Esau a profane man. You know what profane means? Godless. Then you call him a prophet. Hallelujah. Let's go back to this topic. Nobody can get saved until Jesus rose from the dead, right? Because when he rose from the dead, that was when he shed his blood. You can listen to Salvation Through Faith in Christ. We have a teaching like that. Salvation Through Faith in Christ, Series 1, Series 2. Hallelujah. And so, when he says, this is very well, all power is given to me in heaven. That's upon resurrection, right? So when he says, go and make disciples, will it be make disciples of the resurrection? Eh? Yeah. So we are disciples of the resurrection. Because you can't just say, make disciples of every nation. The question is, disciples of what? There's no generic disciple. There's no like, make disciples. Please listen, we are going somewhere. There's no like, make disciples. That would be, disciple of what? So, disciple of the resurrection. We are to learn the resurrection. Praise God. We are to be learning what God did in the resurrection. What God did in Christ has now become to us a course. It has become a university. Hallelujah. And so, we are to learn the resurrection and teach it to every nation. The resurrection, that the resurrection, Greek word for the resurrection is in the present. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is alive. I thought you said that very well now. Say, Jesus is alive. Someone who lives the earth is not alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. That's correct. A particular brother, he said, he wanted to sing a song. So he went to the studio, the very producer, he said, now send it to me. That, say, this is Christocentric, no. And the song, very well, he did it quite alright. But there was a line I just had an issue with. He said, I am the risen Christ on earth. Ah. I won't mention anything. I said, guy, if you can take that song away from the internet. You said people have downloaded that. Not the risen Christ on earth. He is on earth. Why are you the one? I'm the risen Christ on earth. He has said so many. No, you make me look what? We are not. Hallelujah. He's alive. The reason why I think we are risen Christ on earth is because you think he's somewhere else. No, he is here. I almost said Gashina. He is here. Hallelujah. He's here. And so, we are disciples of that resurrection. So, the resurrection defines our culture. You know, we said, whatever will be the gospel must transcend what? Culture and traditions. No, not tradition, internal. Traditions. There's no culture. Listen very well. Whether you are from Yoruba tribe, you are from
South out, you're from Calabar.
Who is Calabar?
You're from Calabar. You are from, where are you from?
Delta State.
You are from Eka. You are from wherever.
The gospel transcends that culture. That means when you come, you have said, Ijebu people are stingy. Have you heard that before? But the moment you come into Christ, the gospel transcends that culture. That makes sense?
Yes. Yeah. We Eka people. That's where we are. We Ekiti people. That's where we are.
No. That's not what Christ made you. The gospel is for every nation. It transcends every nation. It transcends every culture and tradition. That makes sense? So, in the resurrection of Christ, listen very well, we see the love of God. In the resurrection of Christ, we see the love of God. In this series, I'm going to open you to quite a number of things. Today, we'll look at what it means to be a friend. Hallelujah. It means to be a friend. So, in the resurrection, we have the lessons on the love of God. Bible says in Romans 5, say, while we are yet sinners, what did God do? Christ what? He died for us. So, the resurrection portrays to us God coming to man. You know, we sang that song, you did not wait for. Hallelujah. The resurrection shows us how God came to man. You did not beg him to die, did you? Michael.
You say no, sir. You beg
Jesus to die.
They were not even expecting him to rise from the dead. That's why the son was shocked.
And he's alive.
What happened?
But that's God's love to mankind, right? Why we were yet sinners. That's God's love to mankind. 1 Timothy 2:5. Paul said to Timothy, say there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. He is the mediator. He reconciled the world to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. And so, in the resurrection, we have lessons to learn. We are students of the resurrection. We are students of the resurrection. So, the resurrection defines the way we act. The resurrection defines the way we act. Because in the resurrection, we see the love of God. Hallelujah. We see the love of God in the resurrection.
Let me have to pass now.
Thank you, Jesus. So, one of the things we see in the love of God in the resurrection, listen very well, is that the resurrection is a relationship. It's a relationship. In the resurrection, we now became the children of God. Hallelujah. It's a relationship. The resurrection does not produce a relationship. No. It is a relationship itself. In the resurrection, we now become the children of God. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are what? They are what? The sons of God. Verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of what? Adoption. By which we cry, have a father. But the spirit itself, verse 16, bears witness with our spirit that we are now what? We are the children of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God.
Come on, I'm a child of God.
God is my father. Some Christians don't even learn to say it. It's boring. That sounds okay. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I used to have one friend like that. Sometimes in 2010. That was when he was on a side that very, very, you know. But that was the way he said it. He said, if you do something to him, probably wants to borrow money from you. And I said, I'm a child of God. How can you be using that kind of witchcraft for me? He said, without you borrow me money. If you don't say, I don't want you to go, I'm a child of God. Sometimes, he says it so jokingly that, later he dawned on me, how serious he has always been. God is my father. Are you serious? God is my father. You are not giving me the money. Who gave you the money? He's my father. I'm a child of God. You want to give the money, keep it. But God is my father, remember. You got back in the way I don't say. I don't know why we have one meeting like that. Yeah? This all, we are not going to pay for it. We just tell them that the Almighty God is in need of it. And we're going to the and he was using Jesus with the colt, the donkey. And he said, it's what the master needs it. And so, where's the all? Yeah, let's stay outside. Let's stay outside in case they will beat you people. And so, we are quite young. And so, And they got in at the Wednesday. Nobody thought it was going to say. They met the man there. He said, we are looking for doing all this all. The man said, I'm doing it. Hello, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Yeah. We came in the name of God. The man said, hey, you are welcome. He said, yeah. Don't use this all for an event. It's about, he said, if you already have money, the Christian. The man said, yes. Oh, he's our father. He said, adieu. Ah, that is our father. And then I said, so what is this event for our father? He said, it's our father that needs it, not us. The father needs it, so not we. And he pushed the man, The man gave them, gave us offering. Even gave us ice block. Hallelujah. But God is my father. And so, in the resurrection, we have that relationship. Jesus is our brother. In Matthew, look at Matthew. Now, what did you do? Learn something? Sorry, in John chapter 20. John 20. That's 15. Jesus said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you see? Then she supposed to be a gardener. Said unto him, I have borne in ends. Of course, Jesus had risen from dead, verse 16. Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said, Rabboni, which is to say master. Verse 17. Now in verse 17, together, come on. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. That is the relationship. Go to my brethren. And the first in the Greek. Go to the people who came from the same womb, my brother. Go to my brethren. Tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father. So in the resurrection, God is our Father. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. Hallelujah. And so it says, in the resurrection, we have a relationship. It shows our relationship. The Father is our Father. In other words, listen very well. Listen. Our earthly relationships will mirror what we have in the resurrection. Or should mirror what we have in the resurrection. So, in the resurrection, Jesus is my brother, right? He said, we are brethren. Hebrews 14. This guy is not ashamed to call them brethren. Of course, our Lord and Savior is also our brother and friend. You are... You are... My brother, even though you are a king. That's where I'm going to. Hallelujah. You are my brother and my friend. Hallelujah. We always sing that song. What a friend we have to sound last week. It's in this end. What a friend we have in. So we have a friend in Jesus. Hallelujah. So our earthly relationship mirrors, listen very well, the relationship we have in the resurrection. So in the resurrection, Jesus is the example of how you treat relationships. The resurrection, I'll say it again. Jesus is the example of how you treat relationships. In the resurrection, let me also say, Jesus is also our neighbor. I'll say, eh? He's our neighbor. The word neighbor is the word plesson in the Greek. P-L-E-S-S-I-O-N. Look, go to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 verse 30. The Samaritan man. Can we read 30 to 37 together, everybody? Want to go? Want to go? They came down with certain priests that way. When he saw him, he passed on by the other side. And likewise, the leper, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed on by the other side. But the second Samaritan, as he journeyed in where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and beckoned his wife, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own place and brought and healed and took care of him. And on the morrow, he parted it two pence and gave to the rich and said to him, take care of him, and whichever spent that for, when I come again, I will pay you. The rich man of this day, thinketh thou was a neighbor to him that fell among the thieves. And he said, he that showed mercy. The word person in the Greek means to come near. Neighbor. To come near. So, Jesus said, listen very well. He said, a man fell. Someone came around, saw him, he passed by the other side. He never came around, saw him, passed by the other side, right? Said, a Samaritan came and entreated him. Who, I'm asking you, who was his neighbor? Eh? The Samaritan, right? Come on, the Samaritan. Why was he called his neighbor? Eh? He came for him, right? Neighbor means to move near. To move near to someone. To show mercy by moving near. The act of moving near, not necessarily where you live. You know what? In English, you have a neighbor means the person, we are staying in the same estate, we are staying on the same street, right? As my neighbor, in the same compound, probably next flat, right? But in the original word, neighbor means someone you are near to. Someone you move near to. And that's what the Samaritan did. Whoever requires your compassion and help, he says you move near to them. There's nothing in the law that precludes mercy. You must have mercy. You must show compassion. So, you be a neighbor. You move near. It's a responsibility. Let me ask the question. In the resurrection, who moved near to us? Eh? Jesus. And you ask why I said our earthly relationship will mirror the resurrection. He moved near to us. You must show compassion. Not trying to be sounding immodest. There are times where there have been times where I see people talking things and, you know, probably under the stress of the sun. And I just ask that, sorry, how much is everything? Is it probably 2,000? And I will give it without taking it. Probably I didn't need it. Maybe got an egg or something. I walk away. I probably should have said miracle money from heaven. An angel. It's not an angel. But I must always show mercy. The day, I just saw 500 naira, and I saw the way he was calling me and thanking. I told myself I would come home. No show mercy. So I said, but pastor, some people are trying to scam you. I'm stranded. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have money. Give him. Hallelujah. I was at the bus stop one day, I said. Well, a man came and then said, oh, some story. Then I gave him money. So the person I was with said, he's not real. If an elderly man like this, to say a story of like 2 minutes, give him the money. And again, I know he's lying, that's why I gave him the money. But an elderly person like that will lie because of 100 naira, 200 naira. Give him. If you don't give him, you person, you need more than that. Say lie. I know he's lying, I can't give him, nobody can scam me. If he had, would he be begging? Jesus said, you now do likewise like that Samaritan. There's nothing in the law that precludes mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in the resurrection, Jesus moved near to us. He's our neighbor. The resurrection makes Jesus what? Our neighbor. Go to Matthew 22. Learning something? Matthew 22. So, what does neighbor mean again? It means what? To move near to someone, right? And show mercy. Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And I've heard people misinterpret this a lot. Say, love your neighbor as yourself. It means, if I'm not eating, I can't give you because I have to love my neighbor as I love myself. That's not it. That's not it. Love your neighbor as yourself means treat your neighbor the way you would have loved to be treated. The Bible does not preach self-love. I see it all around. Self-love. Hashtag self-love. Love yourself. That is anti-scriptures. Is that clear? It's anti-scriptures. I love myself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Self-love. What the scripture teaches is to treat people with the way you would want to treat them. Let's say, someone doesn't have money. You have food. Someone doesn't have food. You have food, right? How would you have loved to be treated if you are in this shoe? To share the food. Exactly, that's what you're going to do. So that's how to love your neighbor as yourself. That makes sense? Not that I will now eat. That is my only food too. I didn't mean I have all. Is to treat someone the way you want to be treated. Or the way you want to be treated. So, Jesus said, the same, love your neighbors also on these two and the law and the prophet. All the law and the prophet. And on loving God and loving your neighbor. So you treat people equally the way you should be treated. Thank you, Jesus. So, we are neighbors by the resurrection. Look at Matthew 5. There is something. Matthew 5, verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you what? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That you what? Be the children. For he makes his son to what? So, look at verse 44, it says, love your enemies. So, by the reason of love, your enemy becomes your friend. Love your neighbor, hate your enemies. But Jesus said, you love your enemies. So, but that guy doesn't like me. You like him. You like him. There's nothing in the Christian faith that suggests hatred. I've seen Christians act very unusual. So, you like your friend. I hate him. I hate him. That's not Christian. That's walking in the flesh. Hallelujah. By the reason of love, your enemy has become your friend. But that's not what we're going to do. We'll see that the neighborhood of God much more. But what I want to discuss today is that in the resurrection, Jesus is our friend. And so we have relationships in the resurrection. Number one, he's our brother, he's our neighbor, he's also our what? Our friend. The resurrection portrays what friendship ought to be to us. In the resurrection of Jesus, we see God's friendship. What did you do when you accepted the gospel? You accepted his friendship. Hallelujah. A friend request. In John chapter 15, resurrection is God's friendship to mankind. John chapter 15, verse 13. We verse 13 put together the whole church. Want to go? Alright, the whole church. Greater love has no man than this, that the man lay down his life for my friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command. Jesus said, there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for what? His friends. That means, in the resurrection, we are what? His friends. We are his friends. What Jesus is doing here is that he is defining friendship. Don't allow the world to define friendship for you. The world has defined quite a number of things for Christians. Love inclusive. You find Christians, love is, you know, these days, if you say someone in church, I love you, it depends on who. If I tell Brother Dan, I love him, he first tell me like, well, interesting. But brother tells Sister Hope, I love you. Because the world has defined what love is. That might be thinking, what's happening? In the first thing, the cell leader, brother says, I don't know, he's acting strange. He's not acting strange. He's not acting strange. He just said, I love you. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't use myself. I see this pastor, you can say, the pastor should love his congregation. Accept him. But the moment your palm says that Judith, I love you. What's happening? We don't have a person serving the Lord this day. Jesus, come, God, come. Because you have allowed the world to dictate what love is to you.
And so you don't allow the world to dictate friendship. Jesus sets the tone for friendship. He said, a friend will lay down his life for another. Is it making sense? That's the tone of friendship. That means, friendship is about sacrifice. Greater love has no man than for a man to lay down his life for his friend. So, the resurrection, first of all, defines friendship to us. The word friend in the Greek is the word philo. P-H-I-L-O. P-H-I-L-O. It means someone you are fond of. Someone you have affection for. Someone you are just fond of. You have affection for the person. You find the same word you use in James 4:4. Friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Friendship with the world means affection for the world. That is, you just like the things of the world. You know what I'm saying? And so, a friend is someone you have affection for. I have friends. People I just like being around. I just want to talk to them. And if you see us talk, guys, you wonder, is this pastor? I mean, I'm fond of them. They're fond of me. As friends. A friend doesn't want... Thank you. It's my friend. When you see friends, you know they are friends. Hallelujah. So you're fond. Many Bible scholars have agreed that at the background of Jesus saying this, a friend laid down his life for a friend. At the background of Jesus saying this was David and Jonathan. That is a classical example of friendship. You know what Jonathan did? Jonathan was the prince. Right? He was the prince, the son of Saul. You know what? He gave the throne to David. He knew David was already anointed to be king. I mean, that's your position, naturally. And he said, take it. You will take this in my place. That's friendship. Hallelujah. Because we are in a world of selfishness. So much self-centeredness. So much self-centeredness. Everything is you. Why should I give you money? Have I eaten too? No, you love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. So, Jesus himself was called a friend of sinners. That is, he was always around them. Luke 7:34-11:19. So a friend is someone you associate with and love. Someone you associate with and you love. Do you have friends? Eh? Do you have friends? Someone you associate with and love. So if Jesus is our friend, that means Christianity or Christians ought to be friendly. So I'm friendly. Say it now. I'm friendly. Christians ought to be friendly. You have to be. Listen. As a man, you must not smile too much. As an African man. You know, the first day I saw my dad smile, I mean, smile to us, I was shocked. I said, what happened? Is this man okay? Because my default setting when I was growing up, I don't even collect anything from him. If he wants to give you your pocket money for school, it goes to my mom. You don't go to his room. It's a temple. So I always saw his manners. You greet him. Happy Father's Day. Okay. What do you want? What else? At the point I just stopped. My sisters were the ones that were saying, I love you. You don't need love. Can you say, I'm about to die. Okay. Have you done your time? Don't say, I love you back. You know, many men believe that you have to be wired that way. Say, that's the way men are wired. Why are you called? Who wired you? Your wire is touching. You are not wired. You say, when ladies are wired, you know, they're wired to be sensitive. You have not seen mad ladies before. Which is why I... There was a lady in my secondary school that beat three boys up. Those boys come together. She beat them. What a sight. From that day, I learned my... If she crossed my path, she stepped me. I walk in love. Because if you can beat one empty guy and two other medium guys, what about me? I'm damn small. I don't know that. She also her friend, hold this back for me. You already humiliating, already,
words.
Because she's a bit slim and all. Guys can be very crazy. So, she has been warning them, said, stop. They won't play this. They never. Not to her friend, but take this back from me. Up her sandals. She beats. We are not saying ladies are wives to be working with. It depends on the kind of touch you are. Nobody's wife or anything. Have you noticed that the rate of domestic violence has shifted? If you notice, has shifted. Ladies are not the ones beating the husband. Hallelujah. Christianity demands that you are friends. In the resurrection, we see an example of that. Jesus is our friend. So, if he is a friend, you should be a friend. You should also be a friend. I don't know how to smile. I have to. I don't know. That's where I'm wired. Wired comfortably. You should be wired in the world. By the world. Hallelujah. You should be friendly. You should be friendly. In John 11:11, Jesus calls Lazarus and says, Lazarus, our friend, is asleep. Lazarus, our friend. That is someone we are fond of. Hallelujah. So, it means the believer has the natural ability to have affection for others. Someone you show affection towards. Someone you are fond of. I like people say, marry your friend, marry your friend. Well, as true as that can be, the marriage itself is what brings the friendship. Marriage gives you a platform to be friends. Now, I've explained it to you before. There's nobody you want to marry that you know fully. You say, I know everything about that. You say, like, with magic. And then you say, why are you seeing me like this? That's why I've been sleeping, and that's why I sleep. Why are you pressing this based on the bottom? Why top of the middle? No, he is right. Bottom is right. You don't start to work in one. Because before marriage is proposal, everybody is trying to present themselves in a good light. Nah? He said he's coming to your house. You start cleaning up. You said, guys, professional. The new bed sheet that you did. I don't respond. He's coming just to take that story with notes. He has bought the carpet rug. I bought the foot mats. Kitchen, wash the plate. He's not coming to cook. The following thing is you just stay outside. Bring the notes. But because you are making a proposal, a presentation, the same thing for the ladies. You believe? You know? Why are you tired? I don't know. I don't eat much. 1 week after marriage. Why did you not take my own diet? put you soon. You can't eat that. You don't eat much. I need to. I'm a food. He knows you that. That's where he's going to start the friendship. Real business. Hallelujah. And so you will be friendly. So rather than talk about those who are about marriage, rather than watch the person, watch how the person reacts to others. There's a way she or he will react to you because the person is making advance. So you watch how he reacts to the waiter, how he reacts to the mother, the boss, exactly. That way you get insight on which kind of person she is or he is. That makes sense? Don't lead me in another life. So we'll get to marriage. Praise God. So he's a friend. Jesus said, a friend laid down his life for others. John 15:10. So greater love has no man than for a man to lay down his life for what? For his friends. Because friends sacrifice for themselves. Friends sacrifice for themselves. Can I be your friend? That's a weak question. You go ahead and show it. That's a weak question. Can I be your friend? It's not an interview. Friendship is shown. Friends are actually discovered. Someone you sacrifice for. So we can learn friendship from Jesus. Not from the world. Friendship is an act.
It's not a mere statement. It's not, you know, it's my friend. No. It's an action. If you are a friend to someone, you are a friend to that person because you sacrifice for that person. You sacrifice for the person. You follow that proven friendship. Look, I thought there was a time like that. I was quite ill. They had a test or something like that. My friend stayed back. I knew he did not write the test in red form because I was not writing it. And there was nobody to take care of it. I was vomiting, purging, quite a number of things. So I wanted to go to clinic. And he missed his test for that. I can never forget. That's a friend. Hallelujah. Someone told me a story of how his friends contributed school fees for him. He could not afford school. So his four friends, they went on selling things, including himself, while selling things. They were selling the robot for poor to use them. They were doing enough. See, the school fee was complete. Those are friends. A friend is someone you sacrifice for. Hallelujah. So, in the resurrection, as we are learning the resurrection, right? We are disciples of the resurrection. You must see what true friendship ought to be. Sacrifice. You lay down your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the book of Proverbs will help out a bit. Because the book of Proverbs is a father to son relationship, right? And so it will help out. We're talking about this a lot. Let me say this, that everyone who has good friends have friends because they have needs. Friendship is about needs. It's about needs. If you don't have needs, you don't need a friend. And so, the way to be a good friend to the people you call friends is to be there for them in their time of need. Else, you are not a friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:24. So, in the resurrection, we see that Jesus is our friend. Verse 24. Now we're together. A man who has friends more himself apparently. There's a friend that sticks closer than what? A brother. That's true friendship. And so, God's word portrays to us what relationships ought to be like. We are disciples of that love of God. We are good friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are good friends. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So, there are friends that destroy, there are friends that betray. But there's a friend that sticks closer. A friend that is always wanting what you want, that is always in a competition with you, that's not a friend. That's a competitor. And I'm talking both sides. If you are that friend too, everything your friends are, that's what you always want. And then you're always in a competition with them. Ah, the guinea has bought some, I must buy one. You're not a friend. You're not a good friend. You're not a good friend. Friends help one another, celebrate one another. Talking to one guy. I was asking about someone, because the person was in quite a lot of distress, financial distress at all. I said, how about your friend? So I'm talking about that person's distress. How about that your friend? He said, there are no friends like that, too. I don't need friends like that. I mean, everybody knew them together. But because suddenly this guy was in trouble, he said, we are not really friends like that. So, it's not like the way you think. I said, okay. Then some weeks later, he was talking and he said, that he just wants to be close to me. Even if I don't have Holy Ghost. Even if it's just one MP on my board I've left, I cannot be your friend. You betray. Are you telling me? I said, let's see how it goes. Can never go on. Can never. You can't be my friend. I can't be your friend. Friendship is known in the times of trouble. A friend is born for trouble. Hallelujah. You see that in Proverbs as we go. Hallelujah. A friend is closer than a brother. The word closer than is what? Devoted. Someone that is devoted to you more than your sibling. I've got that. I've got people like that. People that are devoted to you more than your siblings. Praise God. So in Christ we have learned friendship. We have learned friendship. We have not learned deceitful friendship from God's word. No. In fact, people recording, we are recording someone's call to send it to someone else. That's not a good friend.
Hallelujah.
I'm calling someone's call. Because the person trusts you. See what he told me yesterday. How come I done it? Both of you are now laughing. See, if you are that kind of person that has that kind of friend, if he can do it to that person, he will do it to you. Hallelujah. Then the time something happened. And so someone came to tell me what someone said about me. And he was saying, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I said, this person that is telling you knows my friends. He said, What do you mean? I said, don't worry. Because someone who is against me that much cannot come to Shola. Let me say Shola. Let me get Shola out. Cannot go to Star Judith and pour out. He knows that you are pointing to me directly. Right? Why was he so comfortable telling you? Why? Why was he so comfortable? Why? Yeah, no. Yes. God. Be my friend. You are not a friend. A true friend would have stood up. You don't have to come to me. You would have stood up in my place then. That's friendship. Most of the time, someone tries to talk about a friend of mine. And at the time, he says, so, I don't like you. I said, I'm his friend. He said, yeah. I said, very well. Very well. I'm going to tell him everything you just said now. And watch, you're a bad person. He said, I just told you such advice. I said, I'm not such advice. You are looking for a bitter company. You are looking for someone who will accompany you in bitterness. See, you're not a good person, you're a bad person. That's what friends are. That's what friends do. See, if you want to talk against my friend, I will stand against you. It's me. It might be the reason why I have many. But that's me. I can go and rebuke my friend later. But you. Hallelujah. Because we are friends. So, the gospel sets the tone for friendship for us. A friend stick closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Proverbs 17. Verse 17. Let us something. Won't you go? A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Can you see that? How many of you have your version? Trouble. A brother is born for the times of trouble. A friend's love at all times. The reason why you have friends is so that you can be rescued from trouble. See, let me tell you this. Do you know when you can know your true friends? When you are very vulnerable. You know what this is vulnerable? When you are vulnerable and weak. And when you have nothing to offer. Anybody can be your friend when you have cash. When you have cash and you're in a position of authority, you know, your things are playing well for you. Everybody is your friend. Come on. You know when you want to know your friends? When there's nothing they can take from you. Hallelujah. And there's nothing they can take from you. When you don't have anything, all your cash you have, they have more. If you have properties, they have more. You have children, they have more. Something like that. You will know your true friends that time. Because friendship is not about what I want to get from you. It's about what I can give and be to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, friend is born for adversity. So, friendship in the resurrection is not because you have money. A friend is an opportunist. He's just looking for something to get from you. That's why he's your friend. I just want someone like that around. And then, I just got that he was staying around. He just wanted Bible doctrine and free music classes. And every time I was around, I just say, yeah, go and press that one. Yeah, okay, this way. And the moment that changed, he was the first person to be against me. I said, guy, you are not a friend. You are not a friend. I said, no. Hallelujah. So much. So a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for the times of trouble. Don't desert people. Is that okay? Learn not to desert people, not to lead people. Personally, I have a rule I work with. I will let you let go. You cannot find someone, probably we are not in good terms today, that I was the one that caused it. I'm not trying to be modest. I'm getting there by the power of the Holy Ghost, you know, we are working towards perfection. But no, natural, I'm not perfect. But as imperfect as that, you will not find someone that I was the one that led to. You must have walked away on your own. And probably I would have reached out in time or two or three. I see have people who today I will still greet them. I know he or she is not going to greet me. And I will intentionally call out and greet. You don't have to answer. But you know what? You knew I greeted you. Might be my enemy, but I'm your friend. I don't let go. Don't disagree. A friend is born for the times of trouble. Be a good friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone can be a friend when you have money. Anyone can be a friend in ministry when you are famous. You know? No one will know good friends when you are not famous. When your congregation is that, you will know your friends. You have a friend in your congregation. Everybody wants to associate with you. Come on. Everybody wants to associate with Pastor Henry now. I'm his son in the Lord. His son. Son of righteousness. You are not his son. When he was there, teaching 12 people, in the rain, where were you? Were his friends? A wicked person. So Jesus is our friend in times of need. And he's still our friend, right? In the resurrection, that was our time of need. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And yet he was our friend. And he's still our friend. So you need to be a good friend. Good friends in love at all times. So in the resurrection, by our union with Jesus, we are also made friendly. Say, I am friendly. I thought you said that loud. I am friendly. Say it now, I'm friendly. I don't know if you say I'm friendly, you're friendly. I'm friendly. I'm friendly. Yes, I'm friendly. Say I'm friendly. I'm friendly. Well, I was a wicked man at net his face. Hallelujah. I'm friendly. Learn to smile. Learn to smile. I don't know where the culture came from. Where Christians have to go to show that they are spiritual. I don't know where that thing started from. I just post online. Say, if you are inviting a guest minister. He said, he's a father of two. Pastor. I post all the time. I went out like this. And it's true. How many of these ministers do that? Like, they are not moved by everything. You just like, your head is swelling inside. Learn to smile. I will lie. How can you be a Christian and you are not friendly? And so you go to preach. Just come to tell you that God loves you. And because he loves you, you should be born again. See, there's a life. When he's not a WWE, there's a life in Christ. That life, since I'm forgiven, eternal life. I can't believe that kind of gospel. How can you call something good as a man from me? That's how my big gospel. Hallelujah. Let's do that again. Smile. Don't you know God loves you? Come to think of it, I love you too. Who are you waiting beside you? Come on. Taking your time, smiling at someone, and before you're true, oh yeah, someone will be smiling back. Be a friend. Smile. Be friendly. Be friendly. A wicked man this is his. Are you a wicked man? Be friendly. In the resurrection, we are made friendly. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So, this is when a friend tells you the truth. Friends are people that tell you the truth. I've told you the story of how we walked up to one of our friends. I said, we told him, are you going to please the Lord this way? Are you going to please God this way? I don't care if you are going to hell. That's a friend. A friend will tell you the truth. If you see someone who you know you are not doing well, and you are doing something that is bad, and the person is just passive about it, he is not your friend.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
You say wounds is friendship. Well, you just wound everybody. So you know that going to be, I
No, you say that's how friendship is.
You just say you can find that in friendship. Your friends are the people you tell the truth. I have friends that you call and you say, hello, I messed up. And you are not expecting to say, hey, it's normal now. I have someone crazy one like that. You guys will say, it's totally, it's like, no, it's just being a man. You will tell me the truth. The guy, I was about calling you. Now, you also.
No. Ah, you saw he gets me like this.
Those are friends. No, I'm just pacifying you. Whether you're doing bad or good. Say, no. Work on your own. That's not a friend.
People are the world. Hallelujah. Friends are not political.
Friends is someone who will tell you the truth. You know? A friendly church is also the church that will tell you the truth. The church that sees you that you are not preaching. You are not praying. You only pray when you have a need. You have never prayed for missionaries. You have never preached the gospel. You can't pray for 10 minutes straight. You can't pray for 30 minutes straight. And that church is telling you are doing fine. That's not a friendly church. A friendly church is a church that teaches you God's word and tells you the truth. You know the way you know that you're sorry that your friend? He or she rebukes you a lot. When you find someone, listen very well. When you listen, let me tell you a clue of life. As you grow older, you will know this. When you find someone that corrects you a lot, that person loves you a lot. If you are very young, you might not know this. You probably think the person hates you. But as you grow older, you will see that it is actually love to correct. Hallelujah. I was pastoring before. I told one of the leaders there. I said, watch the day I will stop correcting you. Only the one I said, he wasn't a boss. It was a church boss we used to convey and all. So, I she was pissed that I corrected her in a certain line. And I said, watch the day I will stop. Because it means you have pushed me to the world that day. Brother, she didn't understand. Because I was actually correcting her because I saw she could be better. I saw she could be much more effective. And so, I'll go, which is love? To correct you when you are ineffective or to leave you the way you are. Which is love? Eh? So why do we feel the other way? Why do we feel the other way? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Hallelujah. Praise God. A friendly church is not, that's what I say. You now see a poster. They are shaking a room of love. They come to our church. It's a family. They don't know each other. So, the people say, high five. They come to our church. Such a family. Family that you don't know the name of them that's outside. You know a friendly church by camera. It's what we do week in, week out. How we stand up for one another. How we sacrifice and we are there for one another. That is friendship. How we correct one another in truth and love. Hallelujah. Judas kissed Jesus. A friendly kiss. The kisses of an enemy is deceitful. Don't be a Judas to your friends. Be a good friend. Tell your neighbor, be a good friend. So, our friendship is not mere advice. It's a fundamental in Christianity. It's a fundamental in Christianity. You ought to be a good friend. A friend is not trouble. That be from as a close. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affection to one another with honor. In honor, preferring one another. Hallelujah. Be kindly affection to one another. Be kindly affection to one another. Prefer one another. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. As touching brotherly love, you need to be allowed into you. For you yourself are taught of God to love one another. We'll see much more on brotherly love as we proceed. But be a good friend. Is that clear? And be friendly. Find Christian. You are always nagging. Sit in the bus. Shoot up. What better? Be friendly. Hallelujah. Be friendly.
John comes to you. He said,
can I get 100 naira?
You know what they do? They can't use your smoke.
You don't even know what he wants to use it for.
Hallelujah.
You don't even know me.
Why not be friendly? Hallelujah. I'm friendly, hallelujah. I hear that very well. Is it because you are not? You are. I'm friendly.
You're friendly.
So the resurrection will learn friendliness. Christianity breeds good relationships. Because the resurrection itself is a relationship. To be a good friend is trustworthy, be reliable. If you have enjoyed the company of good friends, then it should be one. Hallelujah. Friends who have sacrificed themselves for you, who have been giving up things for you, then you should also be a good friend. You should be a good friend. Be a good friend to members of your local church. Be a good friend. Don't speak behind people. Don't gossip about them. Okay? Be a good friend. Be friendly also. Yes. Okay? Papa. Let's smile. Let's be at peace. God bless you.
Hallelujah. I'll close with that.
Good friends I have to find. So, be one. Hallelujah. The world does not teach you what friendship is. Jesus and his world will teach us what friendship is. In the resurrection, we are friends of God. He's our friend. He died for us. What does it say? He said, you are my friends. And greater love has no man than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. We are friends. You know, you practice that in the local church. You come to church, the person sitting beside you, you are not friends with the person. Secondly, you are not mine. Hallelujah. You know why? You see someone who's in church and you observe that the person doesn't have clothes, doesn't have good clothes. The church of God is where we move now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 verse 10. Be good to all men. I'm talking about those who are of the household of what? Of faith. Let you be good to people. Let you surprise people. Be friends. Be friends. I got someone came to my office one time. And he was shocked the way I was smiling and laughing. You don't know that I've been around you. Well, you're there. So this pastor. I laugh. Right? I laugh a lot. You are in the resurrection. You must be a friend. But I didn't know that you can watch people like this one. If you see me rejoicing when I start supporting you, saw the day. I got you. Real, I got you. The people are looking at me there. I was saying, no! No! There's nothing to frown about. You are not going to grow spiritually because you frown a lot. Smile. Be friendly. You come to church. You move. Hallelujah. That church, you're not even friendly. What about you? You should be the friend. Right? If you are not your friend, you go to you have been a friend. Go to the person. What's your name?
Oh yeah. I saw a friend like that.
You know? Be a good friend. Change your direction. Jesus sets the tone for relationships. We look at quite a lot of relationships, workplace, marriage, neighbor, brotherhood, you know. And buy some more. Hallelujah. But we are disciples of the Lord. God, there's no problem. Is that there? Is that there? Because Jesus is my friend.
That was the guys I'm guessing the Lord this morning.